Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today, we bring another special guest. His name is Ahmad, and he's the growth lead at Alchemative, which is basically they specialize on empowering e-commerce businesses through technology. And that's why I wanted to bring Ahmad today, because some of the conversations that lately I've been hearing around the space is like, what are the different cycles that you as a basically business owner in the e-commerce space need to understand and navigate to successfully scale your business forward? Because as we all know, business have different stages. And if you don't understand those effectively, then it's going to be difficult for you as a founder to understand why you have to put your efforts to get the best result at a specific point during the timeline, right? So Ahmad, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for coming.
Glad to be here, Vincent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. And I know today you're going to be dropping some insightful, you know, insights in, from your experience and everything you've been doing in the e-commerce space. I guess for those that might not know you, let's start there actually with a little bit of background on yourself, the company Alchemative, and then, of course, let's dive into the topic.
Yeah. Sure, Vincent. So, and you know, just for the starter, we have been talking, you and I, and your insights on the topic, they have been really helpful as well, right? So, you know, I am very excited to have this conversation in front of your audience. And let's take it from there. So as far as, you know, it feels like, you know, I'm doing this pretty long, right? So yeah. I've been part of the enterprise ecosystem, the e-commerce ecosystem for almost 13, 14 years now, right? So mainly I've been focused as a marketing and, you know, the growth person for businesses, for medium, large size businesses, and small businesses for that matter. You know, my role has been revolving around marketing and growth. And when I say growth, you know, we actually work with different life cycles, right? So different life cycles is basically when the business is, you know, at the build stage, for example, what does that take? What are the challenges when you are at that scale? And then, you know, from there, how do you run it? What kind of a tech stack that you need, require, the challenges, the agonies every day. Then when you get into the grow phase and then the scale phase. So this has been part of, you know, a huge part of my life and, you know, the team's been around. So this is pretty much it at a high level as far as the, you know, Alchemative is concerned. So I've been part of the Alchemative ecosystem for almost last 2 years. And then I formally started this when we started expanding. We started to be in this geo, the North Americas, and I'm the growth person for that, yeah. Ahead of growth, to be precise. And then, you know, at a high level, Alchemative, that's been around 2014. It started as software development, as DNA of it. 2016 moved into e-commerce, Shopify Plus partners. We actually have had, been fortunate and privileged to work with and learn from these great brands. Like, you know, we work with Toyota, we work with Hush Puppies, we work with Levi's, etc. And small size businesses as well. So we have, as an organization, we have seen all these stages and we understand the life cycle. So this is pretty much it at a high level.
Good. Thank you so much. And I think that's exactly why I wanted to have you, Bor, because given the fact that you have basically experienced all these stages multiple times with your clients, that by trade essentially have allow you to identify what are some of the specific methodologies throughout these stages that have essentially allowed these companies to get to the next phase. And I guess for those that you know might still not be aware that of these different stages, let's start there. Like from your experience, what are some of the stages that you would say define e-commerce business in terms of what are usually the main ones? And then from there, let's dive into those and specify, you know, what are some of the things you have to consider, what are usually the challenges, and how you can overcome it as a founder. Yeah.
You see, these are pretty obvious, and back of every entrepreneur, every business owner, where you actually have these phases. But you know, these phases are not really defined. So if we kind of, you know, put a definition around it, this is how normally we as an agency, e-commerce agency, or, you know, folks who've been around for a long time, we will work this in a structured way, right? So first phase is where you are building your business, right? That build could be different for different people and businesses, but normally in e-commerce space, the standard would be when you're, you know, building or putting together a store, maybe on Shopify, on Wix, on, you know, any of your store of your choice. Or maybe if you start to work in a marketplace, Amazon or any other marketplace out there. So if the build is something which is, you know, what would you do? So store is defined. Now, what are the other challenges that you're doing? For example, you have picked up Shopify. UI UX things, your product is already there. You're going to basically do, how would you define your UI UX, right? How would you envision at that time? At this very moment, there wouldn't be any data, right? So how would that UI UX in your head would impact your business? Content operations, how would you, you know, put that together? And then, you know, comes the run part. Normally, build is the phase, which is the initial small kind of framework, unless you are into rebuild. I'm not going to touch or go into the rebuild part. Then, you know, you've put all the shop together. Now, how would you run that? What exactly do you need to run that business? You know, the challenges in running, right? So product data management, for example. You know, fulfillment, what kind of, you know, 3PLs that you would want to integrate your existing stores, maybe. You know, customer experience, how would you basically start getting those maybe notifications so that you basically start understanding how is your store or products basically influencing the customer experience.
Yeah, it's essentially designing the guidelines, right? It's the guidelines in terms of, as a brand, what is going to define you? Like, what is going to be your message in terms of, as you mentioned, in the experience you're giving to your clients? On top of that, what is going to be the structure on the back end that's going to sustain that kind of essentially logistic in the front end? And I guess design the whole ecosystem, because I agree, a lot of people, when they are on the building phase and then they want to jump into the wrong phase of getting started, they really struggle to define like a clear path in terms of, okay, these are going to be my providers and these are the ones I'm going to stick to, because you see that all the time. There are so many shiny objects, so many options. And I feel if you don't do your homework and choose the one that's really tailored to what you need, you can end up jumping from ship to ship, and essentially you never start getting that snowball effect that's going to take you to the next stage, you know? So
And this is, Vincenzo, this is very interesting, right? Because, you know, when the business owners are transitioning from build to run, of course, and the run is the phase which pretty comes quickly when you build the thing, right? So build and run essentially are not very far from each other. So what happens there is, for example, the business owners normally, what they do is, you know, they are, you know, ambitious people, business owners, right? Mm-hmm. So what they do essentially is they learn while on the job, right? So in many of the instances, they burn the plane while flying. So, so there's one way is that you do that. There will be a certain cost that you will have to pay, right? It could be money directly. It could be, you know, time to market cost in terms of the time. There's another way is that to hire an agency or a vendor or someone expert from the market. But again, you know, it's a chicken egg situation that at that stage, you might not be big enough to afford an agency. Exactly. So how do you do that? I think with it's enough, if you start relying on the platform itself, there is enough material which could basically give you at least an idea what to expect at what stage, right? Like a project management, this will be milestone one, this will be milestone two, milestone three. Mm-hmm. For example, in the run stage, customer experience is something, if you're really up to it, you could make this a priority. And then maybe you start moving towards the integration part. I do not know your product. It depends on what kind of product that you are in, what kind of market that you're selling into. And normally when you move from this phase to the next phase, which is when you're really growing, that is something I would suggest that, you know, you should start taking help from an agency. I think most of the people, they do, but their dependence gets too much on an agency at times.
Which again, something I want to add here, because I'm sure I'm going to get this question. When you're doing the growth, when you're doing the run and the run stages, right? Is at this stage, you would say that you should by then already start doing your homework in terms of which service providers to work with and start doing your diligence? Because I guess the last thing you want is that the run stage is getting to a phase that now you need to jump into a growth phase. And then if you haven't done your diligence in terms of starting to interview potential partners here and there, you're basically going to bottleneck yourself into the growth phase because you didn't do the homework in advance. So I guess from a timeline perspective, what is usually the period you see a run stage looking like in terms of maybe months or years? I know this is going to be heavily dependent on the type of business. And usually how much in advance you should start preparing for growth phase? Yeah.
I think build and run, we already kind of defined, and I think you and I, we agree on this part, that build and run, they're pretty close, right? The moment you build, the run part kind of, you know, comes pretty quick. The growth part primarily, it's not about when it comes, right? The moment you're going to basically switch on one campaign, Vincenzo, you know, the growth part in one way or the other will start coming in.
By nature.
Yeah. But yeah, but it will happen naturally, right? But what... when the growth phase starts, when the first campaign starts or the second phase starts, what do you need to have in your arsenal, right? What kind of anticipation you should definitely have on a paper, that would be amazing, but at least very clear in your head, which will be that what kind of growth channels that I would be opening. Mm-hmm. And for that, what, for example, what integrations do I need? What data I should be looking at? Is that data being, you know, orchestrated in a way that is meaningful for you, that could provide good customer experience or good kind of learning for you to act upon? These are the kind of things that you must have when you are getting into the growth stage. Because you see, any wrong decision or any wrong foot, that basically is going to bleed money. It's going to bleed your reputation. It's going to bleed your operation, right? So customer experience could become one of the casualties pretty quick. And recovering from one bad brand experience, it takes a lot of time and energy. You don't want to basically do that. But this is a stage where I recommend that, you know, people should basically go out and start having some kind of expert consulting. It's going to cost you money, but it's not going to cost you the money.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So that is one thing. Again, cool. Putting a time around this, normally I would say, you know, we see, you know, 3 to 6 months would be something, a fair amount. But again, it depends. As you were saying, it depends
on the type of business.
Yeah.
Now, during the growth phase, so we can start transitioning to that one. We know for a fact that something that's going to be growth is traffic, and traffic by nature, especially on today's day and age, is like, it's all about social media. It's all about getting your voice out there. And I feel like that is essentially what is going to help you, you know, catapult your business, like really getting the social presence and doing advertisement in those networks. So what are you seeing in terms of the importance of this methodology during the growth phase? What are some of the maybe strategies or tools you would recommend for that?
Growth stage, this is how I basically define, right? So once you got put together a plan of your goals and then, you know, engaging someone from outside or by I'm not pushing the agency per se, right? Whatever your way is, if you are an expert yourself or you have a team of experts, you know, fair enough. But the expert input insights needs to come in. So, for example, if you're going to start putting in the performance marketing or social media, you know, all that traffic kind of a play, that's going to happen because of the content that you would create, right? It's not going to happen sustainable. The sustainability basically comes through the content marketing or content play that you will going to put together. For that, do you, again, what kind of a plan, what kind of a brand identity you would have to basically get support from the content that you will be putting together. Then again, the tech stack, for example, you know, are you into conversational commerce at this stage? You should do that. Are you going to deploy the push bots to basically provide that customer experience? And for loyalty, are you using any tech stack? Are you going to use something which is, you know, you're going to put some people behind providing that customer experience, you know, through the chats, through the customer support, et cetera, et cetera. Then most important is the visibility, because the growth is messy, right? Growth basically tells one system needs to be integrated, one CRM needs to be integrated, an ERP will be integrated. Your 3PL integrations are going to get integrated into this. So the system is very messy. Now, when it's messy, the visibility becomes a challenge, right? For example, an order is coming in. What channel is it coming through? And then, you know, when it's getting from, for example, your warehouse, and if you have multiple warehouses, you know, which warehouse is it coming from? Is it going through USPS? What exactly is working cheap? I mean, these things got to have some kind of stitched together, which aka means integrations in our case, through an omni-channel, you know, a retail omni-channel kind of a solution. The visibility got to be there, right? So, and then at this stage, most of the businesses, retail brands, they basically get into customer experience in terms of, you know, launching a mobile app or maturing that mobile app as well, right? So multiple in-house owned kind of channels through that. So these are the things that happens and happens pretty quick once you are into the growth stage. And this is how, in my opinion, it should go into the play.
Cool. Now, when it comes to this, at the end of the day, the question I get a lot during the growth stage is like how you quantify and define success, right? Because at the end of the day, you can start getting the exposure, you can start getting some sales, but sometimes it's difficult to really, you know, create a baseline, like in terms of, okay, I'm actually growing, it's actually this direction I want to go to with the business. Is the growth rate I'm having, you know, competitive enough to make it in the long term? I guess those are questions that, you know, as a founder, you ask yourself every day in terms of making sure the ship is going in the right direction. So from your experience, how you can come basically to understand if you're actually, you know, growing at the right pace and everything. Is there some kind of research you recommend doing along those lines or some kind of way of defining what is the baseline, where I am and where I need to go, right?
Excellent question. You know, we basically have a lot of conversations around this, Vincenzo. Look, so normally, you know, in the technology business, not necessarily saying e-commerce, in the technology business, one of the amazing thing that happens is, oh, we do not have any competitor, right? But when you get to the e-commerce world, that is not a very huge advantage, right? Because your competitors and, you know, in e-commerce space, which
can help you sometimes.
They help you, exactly. They help you sometimes. You know, at, for the beginning, and actually through the run and grow stage and all those stages, you know, and even scale, you will have for any vertical, any industry, you would have some kind of a competition to look up to, right? If you are the biggest, right? Even that has some interesting challenges, but of course that is not a subject of this conversation, please. Now, that is one very good start, right? And you know, these and never rely on one competition. You know, there will be competitions which are big, whose growth are now stalled, might be bigger than you, but they would have a certain acceleration at certain phase. You might right now be in that phase, right?
Exactly.
That is a good starting point. That's one. You know, always I say this, respect your competition. You know, you got to basically talk them down, but any athletes, you know, when even they talk each other down, but they respect each other's ability. So that is one very good reference. And then when you are in the growth stage and with very initial stage, you have got your data coming in, right? That's your own truth. Now, this is not outside in. This is your own truth now. You got to live that truth. Which channels are working good for you? What are the standards? There are reports from these market analyst researchers, which gives you kind of a general industry trend. You know, make those your North Stars when you do not have your own truth, right? So make them your truth. So the competition, the market research, and when your data start coming in, live your data. How do you grow that? What are your goals? If you're doing better, how are you doing better, right? You need to know. And even if you are failing, what exactly is the reason? Rely a lot on data. So, yeah. And not only the data, your own data, right? Your own truth.
Yeah. Important. Now, once we go over the growth phase, I'm assuming maybe you can build on top of this. The next thing would be scaling, right? It keeps scaling to as much as possible. But at the end of the day, it's important for business when they go into this scale mode to understand, okay, first of all, what is going to be some of the stages I can get to when it comes to scale, because I need to know how I keep a sustainable growth, right? It's going to reach a point that it's not only about scaling, because then you might grow your expenses significantly or your overhead and all of that. And it reaches a point that the business is actually not even cannot even be managed in the first place. So how you reach a point where we aren't into that scale mode that, you know, okay, this is where I have to go to stay sustainable, but at the same time, have a healthy scale month after month or so.
Look, again, like growth stage and putting together those parameters for, you know, what your success looks like, scale stage also needs to have some kind of parameters. Mm-hmm. For example, for some businesses, scaling would be moving into multiple geos or multiple states. Mm-hmm. That would be one part. Now, another scale is primarily when it looks like, you know, you got to move. Now, you were selling something on the website, and now you need to move to the market spaces, right? For example, you had one market space, and now you move mm-hmm. to multiple market spaces. You actually had a B2C play, and now you would want to have a B2B play mm-hmm. as well. So these are mostly the things that, you know, happens through the scale stage, right? These are the challenges. Now, as part of the investment, the good thing about scalability part is most of the investments are very predictable, right? Because if you want to move into the geos, for example, you would want to have to deal with different regulators. You know those costs which will be incurred. You could make a plan around that. Growth phase is a little tricky in terms of, you know, if you do not have very clear goals. For now, I think a few years back, the major e-commerce platforms, for example, let's take the example of Shopify. Now, Shopify is, you know, very significantly, it has evolved, it has, you know, got into the leading kind of a space. But Shopify, to be able to move to another country, what they used to do was they used to, you know, you had to build a new store in Shopify, right? And that was one of the major pain points. Now, they are changing. They are basically seeing the market trend and need of the customer. Shopify, I really am a fan of Shopify for the reason mm-hmm. that, you know, they seem to listen to the audience a lot. And what they've done is now they basically just got to do one store and multiple territories. They kind of, you know, start getting added into one simple store. So, you know, someone sitting in the head office of a brand could basically see how is US doing, how is Canada doing, how is Mexico doing, UK, Europe, Asia, India, Pakistan, Dubai, all these things. Now you could basically get the overall thing. Now, once you are into the scale part, there are a few very important things you got to do. Visibility, scaling, although predictable, but it is, again, messy. So many moving parts, right? Different territories, different systems, different 3PLs, 4PLs, 5PLs. And if you're in manufacturing, it's a really interesting kind of a thing, right? Yeah. So if you're getting your things being tailored in, for example, in Beijing or maybe in a different state, you need to see that your designers, they have designed the, an apparel or a t-shirt, and it's on time to the manufacturer side. The manufacturer has manufactured this on time. They basically had this into the shipping part, on time. The shipment is on time to the warehouse, from the warehouse to...
It's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, it's so each entity that I've said using their own CRM or ERP, right? This means a lot of moving parts. And then, seasons are there. Seasons are involved, from high-end stores to the low cost, all these things. Visibility, integrations, omni-channel retail solutions. That is one major part in the scale part. That's one. Visibility, the scaling is most of the times, that's visibility. And you take any of the brand in the whole planet, they would want to have more visibility, right? And this is a pain point of the executive. The scale part is about the visibility, about having multiple channels of everything, right? So you should have more than one manufacturer or manufacturing site. We have seen that, when COVID happened, the world has basically seen that the supply chain, if you look at it, the supply chain is something which has not evolved in 70, 80 years, right? The thing is manufactured somewhere offshore, gets on a ship, then to shores, a truck, and then, this has not evolved a lot. And when a little bit of a problem happened, the world was kind of freezing. The Suez Canal kind of, the ship was stuck and the whole supply chain route was, it was all disrupted.
Yeah.
So visibility is important. You got to see there are conflicts, global conflicts happening. And we live in a world where we need to have visibility to be able to address these upcoming challenges, right?
Exactly.
So that's
I think important. To add to that as well, it's like as a business and to start concluding, it's like you have to be agile because there's so many new technologies keep coming into play and if a new, strategies. And if you don't take those into consideration, your competition does, they're going to overcome you, right? They're going to become more savvy at what they do. They're going to be more effective in terms of their marketing and logistics. And if you don't keep evolving and you have a culture of, be on top of trends, like that can also be something that can, significantly affect how effectively you go to all these stages as a company.
And any of this disruption, absolutely. So the wise, your competition, any one opportunity that's been leveraged that you did not pick and your competition did, the brand perception just gets changed so quick. And you need to be really smart about these. These kind of simple operational things been happening. At times you do not realize, right? At times you do not realize that Amazon does a great job. If you are their Prime member, they get you thing next day. You might have noticed at some stage, if the moment you take off the Prime membership, the experience just gets, in a very tricky way. But the overall impression of Amazon as a brand is very consistent. It's very consistent. And, if you go to somewhere else, if there is no great, experience, and I'm talking about only the supply chain experience, you would eventually see and move back to Amazon, or you start comparing these things. I was buying this thing from this vendor, this was happening. And this takes for a long time. And now the brand promise that Amazon has right now, Vincenzo, that is basically all because of the non-fancy kind of work, right? These integrations, these supply chain visibility, the data is, you know, making them they getting these items delivered to you. But the brand impression is there. The moment that, you know, gets delayed for a day or two or for a week, you know, again, people start questioning things. So this happens a lot. You've got to keep the momentum on your operation going at all times, which equates to, you know, having good technology, good tech stack, good understanding, and good operation.
Awesome. Cool. So, I mean, to be honest, conversation's been super insightful as usual. And thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. I think I want to use the last minute or so. So in case, you know, people want to reach out to you, getting more deep conversations when it comes to the different stages of scaling a business, or even figure out how your company, Cremative, you guys can help them, like how people can find you, get in touch with you.
You know, simplest will be alchemative.com. We're pretty active on the website. You know, I could be reached out to, you know, directly. I can share my details. So that will be the fastest and quickest way. We will be more than glad to provide, Vincent, so anyone basically comes to your channel or from this effort, you know, more than happy to provide, you know, audit. We're pretty comprehensive. We provide reports around that. We will be happy to do that. I will share my details, you know, whenever we actually run this on the socials. I'm happy to help anyone.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Aman. So, pleasure. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you soon. Yeah. Have a nice one.
Lovely talking to you, Vincenzo. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.